Right. Today's topic is, as you see on the sheets, is receiving, handling mail, newspapers, packages, and stuff on Shabbos. And a few weeks ago, we discussed the issue of shtari hadyotos, what can be read, what cannot be read. Just a quick summary of that was that anything related to Torah reading is certainly permitted on Shabbos. Anything related to business is certainly not permitted. And then we had the gray area, such as novels, perhaps sciences, which might be a certain onik to people, which there might be room to allow for it, but they say Yir Shemaim should really spend this time learning instead. And we had newspapers, which one might get a certain hana from it, but we said since mostly they're filled with article with advertisements, we said really best not to even look at newspapers. That was just in terms of what's permitted to be read. Now we're going to address the issue of receiving the newspapers, receiving mail on Shabbos, whether there's any permissibility to this or not, and how to handle them when being delivered the mail and whatnot. So this issue is going to cover a number of different points, and the point we're going to address is shtari hadyotos, which we already saw. We should know that sugya somewhat well now. There's the issue of muksa, the issue of tchum, the issue of mila akum. Now, those last few topics we haven't discussed in depth, so we're not going to really appreciate the overall sugya. We're going to have to touch upon them as we navigate through the application here of mail and newspapers, but we're not going to answer all the questions. We're trying to be very, very focused right now on the mail, newspapers, and whatnot. So let's begin the Gemara in Beitza. The Gemara in Beitza, Daf Chav Dalet Amud Beis, has the following line. Amar Apapa. Hilchasa, the bottom line, the halacha is, Nachri Shehevi Doron Liyisel B'Yomtif. If a guy sends a gift to you on Yomtif, the same halacha would apply on Shabbos as well, but Maseches Beit is all about Yomtif. Im Yesh Me'osa Amin B'Mechuber. If let's say you live somewhere in Pennsylvania, and you live amongst cornfields, so they send you a piece of corn for Yomtif or Shabbos, it's Usur. You cannot partake in this. And the concern is, Rashi points out, number two, it's an issue of Muksa. And now it's a very severe form of muksa, Rashi explained. We'll come back to the Gemara in a second. Afilu Rabbi Shimon, even Rabbi Shimon, who in general does not hold the concept of muksa, in certain scenarios he'll agree there is muksa. And he thinks this case of mechuber is considered muksa because no different than grogros and simukim. You used to leave figs and dates and grapes, let it out to dry in the rooftops, and it wouldn't be ready for Shabbos, so it's muksa, it's maksimi daita. They wouldn't expect to eat it. It wouldn't be ready on Shabbos, it's considered muksa. Seeing that Rabbi Shimon in general doesn't hold a muksa, when things are really out of mind, he'll agree it's muksa. So when someone sends you a corn, you live amongst cornfields, they send you corn, you're not going to expect to have corn unless you pre-picked it before him. But all the corn that's out in the field, you don't expect to eat it, so any corn that's sent to you is going to be muksa. But Ula Erev says, back to Gemara now, Ula Erev, that evening, Matzei Shabbos, Nami Asurin B'Chdei Shiasu. That Matzei Shabbos, you have to wait Kadesh Yasu, a big, big topic we're not going to get into right now, but you have to wait the amount of time it takes for one to go pick and give you that corn. So let's say you have a cornfield that takes 5 minutes to go down the cornfield row and take it out and come home, so you have to wait 5 minutes after Shabbos before you could get Hana from that corn. Our focus is going to be the second half of Rapapa's statement. Im ein me'osa min b'mechuber. Let's say, well, we live in Woodmere, in Five Towns area, so nothing grows here. So anything that someone sends, any produce that Goy Med sends you, an apple, an orange, an avocado on Yantiv or Shabbos, it's not going to be a problem at all. Of Muktza, Toch HaTchum is a distinction. If it's within the Tchum, so let's say they got from the local grocery store, so it's within the Tchum. We're not going to define what Tchum is. It's Yud Beis Meal, but where you start drawing the line of Tchum, the circles, the corners, a very complicated topic. If it's within the Tchum, within the city borders, then it's going to be mutter. But if the apple came from Chutz Tchum, a few neighborhoods over, let's say Long Beach is possibly an issue of Tchum going over the bridge, over the water there. Let's assume Long Beach is an issue of Tchum. They send it over from Long Beach. Then it's going to be usur to have such an apple. Why? And before I get to the why, sorry. Habavishul Yisrael Zeh. Mutter liyisrael acher. Sorry, Habavishul Yisrael Zeh. Mutter liyisrael acher. So let's say they bring the apple to me on Shabbos. I cannot partake in this apple, but my neighbor can. Since it was only brought for me, not to somebody else, it's mutter to him, but also to me. As opposed to the first case, it was mechuber. Let's say I live in Pennsylvania with all these cornfields, and they send corn to me, it's also to me and every Jew. It's also to everybody. But if it's something that is not mechuber, but it came from outside the tchum, it's only also to the recipient, not to a neighbor. So the question is, why is there a distinction? Either way, there's an isser. The goy brought it outside the tchum. He brought something that was potentially connected to the ground. It could have been from my backyard, a corn in my backyard. And possibly, he removed it from the ground. So there's an isser, the issue of mila akum also. Again, it's a challenge, mila akum, there's issues of muksa. So he could have picked it out of the ground, the corn, violated the isser derais of kotzer, and brought it to me. And that isser is going to be usher to every Jew. But if it's an iser only of tchum, outside of tchum, because there's no corn here in Woodmere, there's no corn. So the only concern is the tchum came outside from Long Beach. So that's an iser midrabanan. It's only going to be asur to me, but not to anybody else. So that's mefurish in the Rush. The Rush says that very distinction. The Rush number 3 says, "De lo hechmiru chachamim ela bedavar shenasa bo isura deraisa." Only if there was a potential iser deraisa, so the case of picking the corn outside of my field or some other field within the tchum, then they're machmir that nobody should partake in this corn at all. But when it v'ein lachosh, she points out, when it comes to din derabanan, there's no concern. V'ein lachosh, very important line. Ein lachosh shema heviu hanachi derech rishis rabim sarte l'platia. Well, maybe he brought from Long Beach and he went over to rishis rabim. So the Rosh says, don't be concerned. Nowadays, at least the times of the Rosh where he lived, there were no big cities where there's 600,000 people passing through streets at one given time. So there's no concern of Rosh Hashanah. There was no Hotzah on a Deraisa level. At worst, there would be an Isser Derban of going through a Karmelis. A Karmelis is anything that's not a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, but it's not the Rosh Hashanah either. It's somewhere in between. That's some karmelis they explain in the Ramah, a middle ground, some hybrid between Rishis Yachid and Rishis Rabim, Issim Midirbanan. So going through an Issim Midirbanan, getting from Long Beach over here, will at worst violate an Issim Midirbanan, no different than going outside the Tchum, an Issim Midirbanan. So therefore, it's only us to the recipient, but mutter to any other Jew. Okay. Now the Magen Ram points out, number 4, that there is an opinion Rabbi Kiva holds, the Gemara has a machlokas in a number of places, that whether Tchumim is a Deraisa Derbanan. The Rush was assuming that Tchumim is only an Isser Midrabanan. The Magen Avraham says, even if you hold that Tchum is an Isser Deraisa, so if it's an Isser Deraisa, so then it should be also not only to me, it should be also to everybody. So if the apple comes from over Long Beach, which might be a violation of Tchum, and it's an Isser Deraisa, no one should partake in this apple on Shabbat itself. The Magen Avraham says, even according to that opinion, Kevin Sheinim Mefurish Bekra Lo Hechmirba, since there's not an explicit pasuk saying that Tchum is Asser, they were lenient on the iser of the apple. So it's only also to me, the recipient, on Shabbos, but if it's outside the chum, my neighbor may partake in this apple. The Shulchan Aruch does point out that in a situation where a goy were to draw water and to carry it through Rishis Rabim, if such a Rishis Rabim were to exist, you had a place of 600,000 people, we'll get to in a moment how to define Rishis Rabim, maybe more next week we'll discuss that a little bit further, but let's say you were to go through an area of Rishis Rabim, and would violate an Isser Deraisa, Eina Chanami, it would be Usser, not only to me, the recipient, but to even my neighbor. Because again, the klal is, whenever there's an Isser Deraisa, it's Usser to all Jews. If there's only an Isser Midrabanan, it's only Usser to the recipient, but Mutter to others. So we have to figure out, when talking about mail and newspapers, which type of Isser is taking place when sending, delivering the mail. The Taz explains the reason why it's Asr number 6 is because Kevin de Asivad Bey Mlacha Deraisa. Again, as we said, Rosh Hashanah Yachid, it's not going through Rosh Hashanah Rabim and it's Asr Deraisa, it's therefore Asr to everybody. Says number 7, the Prima Gadim. He says further, I want to make this clear, these points, we have this before we go further. The Hecha dis Abed Mlacha Din Torah, Asr L'cha Yisrael, like we said, Afle Mishalo Huvu B'Shvilo. Even the non recipient would be Asr to partake in this object that went through an Asr Deraisa. But if it's only Mlacha Derbanan, it's categorized as a similar to that of a Tchum, which is only Midrabanan, only us, it's the recipient, not to anybody else. He says Rishus HaYachid, rather Rishus HaRabim would be Deraisa. So he's explained why the Shulchan Aruch thinks when you draw the water from a Goy to a Jew, going through Rishis Rabim, why it's usher to all Jews, because since it went through an Isser Deraisa, the Isser applies to everyone.
Which means, so how would he work with where the Rush says what Ashkenazim hold that you only have to have Shishim Ribo?
Okay, so let's talk a moment about Rishis Rabim for a second. There's a big machlokas how to define Rishis Rabim. So according to the Gemara, the definition of Rishis Rabim is, I could hold you responsible for all Gemara's and Erevin, right?
Well, the classic thing is in Shin Mem Hei. Shin Mem Hei, Mechaber says that he wants 16 amas.
Exactly.
And the Ramah brings in the Haggah, and it has to construct Shishim Ribo also in order for it to complete.
Right.
Is that a problem? No.
Right. So what does the Gemara say? The Gemara tells only 16 amas. That's all we know. From the Gemara, 16 amos. So if you have a very wide street, let's say Peninsula Boulevard, which I imagine is 16 amos, depending what shear you use, but I think according to all shiurim, it's going to be 16 amos wide. That's Rosh Hashanah Rabim. There you go. The Rashi adds in a couple of places. You also need 600,000 people. That's Bnei Israel with the Machanah in the Midbar. They're the source of Dinim Rosh Hashanah Rabim. So if you have 600,000 people, that's an additional requirement to make it Rosh Hashanah Rabim. If you have less than that, that's not Rosh Hashanah Rabim. So if you assume the definition is only 16 amos, then there's big problems making an Erev over Peninsula Boulevard or other large streets, maybe Woodner Boulevard also, depending what shir you use. But if it's two, if 16 amos is the definition, we're in big trouble. And the Mishnah Berurah actually says we should be choshish for that. Now, the Ramah brings in, no, we also choshish for Rashi. Rashi says 600,000 people is part of the definition. So Peninsula Boulevard, I don't know how to do the machlok, it's how to calculate in one time, in one day, people who live in the city. But if you don't have 600,000 people living there, or whatever the definition of 600,000 is, it's not Rishis HaRabim anymore, even though it's 16 amos wide. So the Rush clearly holds you require 600,000 people. Since it was very uncommon to have such a large city in his time, there was no concern of Rishis HaRabim. But that's also, exactly, Mefulash is also a requirement. So you have to figure out, does Mefulash mean, does that be continuous? Does that be straight? What if it curves? How much curve? So... Right, so,
it's another right. Because there might be a rishus of inside the car.
Right, so Ramosha doesn't like that. Ramosha says it's not true.
Right.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So maybe we'll discuss that one time, the different definitions of how to calculate 600,000. Yeah, yeah. So Ramosha says that doesn't exist. So it's a big discussion. So Shulchan Aruch, as you just quoted, the Mechaber writes, was Shin Samachay?
Shin Samachay.
So he says the definition...
Shin Memhe.
He defines it as 16 amos. He doesn't have 600,000. So according to Shulchan Aruch, L'shitaso, he was concerned there were Shus Rabim where he lived, or wherever people live. It was very common to have a 16 amos, not common, but there existed 16 amos wide Shus Rabim. So that's why he's garish this. Now, this is about Deraisa Derbanans. Now, you can't get Hanah. So me being the recipient, since it was brought to me, the apple, whether it was connected to the ground, whether outside the tchum, then I cannot get Hanah from this. Now, Hanah is different than me touching it or really moving it. There's no issue to touch muksa. You could touch a car. I was once walking in the street, it was actually a few weeks ago, and some kids were touching the car, and the mother screamed, "Don't touch a car, it's muksa." So I wanted to say, no, it's not muksa, but I figured I shouldn't say anything to her. But you could touch muksa, you just can't move muksa. So the issue is, so can I not move something that smokes? I can't get Hanah. I cannot eat the apple, but can I move it? So the Rush writes a very important line here, number 8. His Hada Amar, Im Yesh Me'osa Min B'Mukhubar, Aser, Lomi Bai B'Achila Aser, El Afilu Tiltanami Aser, Dilo Chazi L'Achila K'Muksadami. If something was brought, again, back to the case, I lived in Pennsylvania. I think Pennsylvania has cornfields. I remember driving up to the country, right? They have a lot of cornfields there. So they give me a piece of corn on Shabbos or Yom Tif, where I live, and I can't get Hanah from this because it's mechubal karka. So I cannot only not eat it, but I could also not move it. Aval habom yichutz l'tchum, if it comes over from Long Beach, outside the tchum, avagav de'asr b'achila mutter b'tiltel. Even though I can't eat it, I can move it. I could take the apple and give it to my neighbor. I couldn't give it to my b'nei bayis because they're considered an extension of me. When someone brings it for me, they have in mind all my family. So my entire family cannot eat this apple. My neighbor could. So since there is a use, although not to me, I can move it. It's considered a kli that's right to be moved. And therefore, mutter betilto came into mutter lisrael acher. Since my neighbor can eat my apple, I can move it. I can't eat it, but I can move it. So that's the basic understanding. So whenever, again, if there's an issur deraisa, it's asur to all Jews. And since it's asur to all Jews, it would be muks as well. If it's only an issur derabanan, then it's only asur to me, the recipient, but mutter to others. Now, once it's mutter to others, it's mutter even for me, the recipient, to move, although I can't eat it. So that's the basic klal. So now let's go to some of the applications. The Torah brings a number of different shitas in the Rishonim, the status of letters. The Torah writes in number 9, Re'isi Kasav al Shem Harav in Rittenberg, Shemutter Likros Bichsav Shehuva Lo B'Shabbos. And this is getting a little bit into the Shtar Hedyotos we spoke about a few weeks ago, whether you're allowed to read letters. But he says, you're allowed to read letters that was brought to you on Shabbos, Rak Shelo Yigaba, don't touch it. You could just stand there, have someone else read it, or maybe you get placed on the ground, you read what the letter says. I guess they didn't always have envelopes there, so it was open, here's a little piece of paper, and they read it. But you were not allowed to touch it, or move it, really, is the issue.
Telegram.
A telegram, exactly. They gave it to you, here's a telegram, and you could read it, but just don't touch it. Then the Torah says, Vani Tamam. I'm confused by this sheet of the Rami Rutenberg. Kevin Sheasa Liga Bo, once you can't touch it, Mishim Shehuva Bishvilo is brought to me. So there's an Isser. Whether it's an Isser Deraisa or an Isser Derbanan, it was brought to me on my behalf, I can't get enough from this. Lama matir lekroso, halo kriyasa hihanasa. So when somebody brings me an apple from outside the tchum, I can't eat the apple. So if someone brings me a letter or a telegram, I can't read it either because reading is hana. So the Maamar Rittenberg certainly thought reading is not Hana. There seems to be a debate. Is reading considered Hana or not? So I never looked into the Indian of Takanas Rabbeinu Gershon about the Isser of reading mail, but it seems to be that would be Tala in this issue. Before Rabbeinu Gershon, one would be allowed to read someone else's mail or email or text. There's no Isser because no Hana, perhaps. No Hana of reading something. Perhaps I know that people steal people's notes and Rebbeim's notes and write them. Is there an Isser of reading someone's notes? Sounds like before Rabbeinu Gershom there was no Isser. He had to create a takana to say it's also to read someone else's property. That seems to be the debate here in the Torah. Rami Rutenberg thought there's no Isser of reading. There's nothing. There's no mamashus to the reading. Your eyes view something and it processes it. But the Torah thought that no, it's considered hana when you read something. But both parties agree you cannot touch the item. You can't move the item. Why can't you move the item? So there's certainly, by letter, there's nothing mechubar lakarka. Nothing mechubar lakarka at all. And let's assume we're dealing with Maamar Rittenberg was a Rebbe of the Rush, and the Torah was a son of the Rush. So let's say they assume, like the Rush, that there are no Rishus Rabbims either. So there's no Issa Derais of Hotsa either. So there's no Issa Derais of Hotsa. It wasn't mechubar lakarka, it's a letter. So what's the problem? If they bring me, the only problem could be is either carrying the Carmelist or going outside the Tchum and Issa Midrabanim. So we said before, although I can't get Hana from this letter, my neighbor could get Hana from this letter, and I should be able to move it. Since there exists a Hana in the world, my neighbor could eat the apple, my neighbor could read the letter, then it shouldn't be Muksa for me. So why do they both think that it's Muksa for the recipient? There's no Issa Deraisa here. Others could get Hana from this letter. So Beis Yosef explains that why is this Aser to move? Why is there an Issa Muksa? So going on to page number 2, he says there's a difference from the Rush to this case. Now, I'm going to need your help to understand what the difference is, because he doesn't really say what the difference is. He says, let's read this together, number 2, number 10, the top of page 2. Apa gav de davar haba michutz l'tchum im ein mebino mechubar mutter l'tato. Even though something that's not connected to the ground, it's mutter for the recipient to move. Afilu misha huva b'shvilo, even the recipient himself can move it. That case is different. Like the Rush gave the reasoning, came into Shari Bachila Yisrael Acher Al Adin to another Jew. Permitted Ein Lo Din Muksa Le'aser B'Tiltul. So the case of the apple is brought from outside the Tchum. Although I cannot eat the apple, since my neighbor can eat the apple, it's Mutter Tiltul for me. At least I can move it. So he didn't say why it's different though. What's the difference? Over there it's different because my neighbor can eat it. So why can I say here, it's also my neighbor could read my letter. So he doesn't finish the sentence. It seems like he doesn't finish the explanation. Right, that's what the answer would seemingly be, that what hana does he get of reading my mail? It's not, doesn't pertain to him at all. So therefore, there's no hana for anybody. The only one who gets hana is the one, the recipient. Who cares what's written in my letter?
Does it matter what he
says? So I guess if it's, let's say, information that might apply to the entire city, so maybe there would be hana that he would receive out of this. So maybe it depends on the nature, but you won't know what it says until you actually read it.
Maybe also, but I think you can't argue that you didn't enjoy knowing other people's business.
Okay, fine. So that's the first stage of the Torah. The Torah says, according to both parties, though, it's usher to touch the male because there's no hanah for anyone at all. There's just debate whether you could read it. Then the Torah quotes from Rabbeinu Tam, number 11. Rabbeinu Tam haya omer, acher shelo huva b'shvilo, yachal lekrosa ho velo huva b'shvilo. So, the other person who was not brought for, he can read it since it wasn't brought for him. My neighbor could read my mail, but I can't read it. That is consistent with what we saw. The one who is receiving it, the apple from outside the tchum, can't read it or can't eat it, but my neighbor can. So it's mutter for him. And therefore, since it's mutter for him to read it, mimele will be mutter for me to move it. But then he writes something very interesting. Inami, the Rabbeinu Tam suggests, afilu misha nishlach lo, even the guy who received it, me being the recipient, yachal lekrosa, I could also read it, sharei ha-sholeach shalcha b'shvil asmo, the guy who sent it for his own benefit. Velo b'shvilo oso shu shaluach elav, it wasn't sent for me, he did it for himself. That's very true. What do you mean? He sent a letter for me to read it to gain the information. It wasn't sent for him. He wouldn't try to just vent to me and me just be a wall. He wanted to give me some important information. So the Drisha is troubled by this language of the Rabbeinu Tam, and he explains that, no, what it means is that the sender sent it on his own, not for himself. He sent it on his own behalf without asking me. I didn't ask him to send me a letter. He sent me a letter. I'm up in camp for the summer, and your parents send you some mail. I didn't ask for it, but they sent it to you. So they sent it on his behalf. I didn't ask for it. So what's the relevance whether I asked for it or not? It was sent to me. So Jisha gets involved a little bit of Mil Akim, which again, I don't want to get too bogged down on. But the issue here is, if I ordered something, I ordered, let's say, a package, or I ordered the mail to come to me, so that if I receive it, it might, you know, get me to do more Yisum. But if it was sent to me without me asking for it, I didn't initiate the process at all. He initiated it, so it's not going to cause me to do anything else. It's only if I made the initial order, then I receive it, it will create other problems with me making additional orders. But if he sent it on his own, that shouldn't impact me, that shouldn't make it usher to me. What did I do wrong? I didn't start the process. So that's the distinction he makes. Either way, for one of these two reasons, the Torah quotes Rabbeinu Tam is saying it would be mutter to move. Again, debate whether I could read it or only my neighbor could read it. But since there at least exists a heter to read it in this world, it's not muksa anymore. As long as someone could get hana from it, it's not muksa. So you can move mail, according to Rabbeinu Tam. According to the Maamar Rittenberg, he says you cannot move mail. Rabbeinu Tam thinks you can move mail. Oh, I thought you were... Okay.
No, your example is so practical, because parents send the package of food up to camp, and the kid didn't ask for it, to get this package, and it's filled with nash. So it's actually also for the kid, but he could give it to all his friends.
If the kid didn't ask, well, according to this stage at least, if the kid didn't ask for it, which seemingly he wanted though,
and
but
these packages sometimes come on Shabbos.
Can the camp give it out? Does the camp give it out on Shabbos?
On Shabbos itself?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it depends on the, we can get the deliveries.
And that comes totally out.
But the issue with this is, it might be different than newspapers and mail. I didn't get to that point, but just to address the question, newspapers, when the guy comes around to deliver the newspaper, he's doing as part of his job. He's not going just for the Jew. He's going for everyone in the neighborhood, Jews and non-Jews. And when it comes to the mail, the postal service is sending it because that's his job, the guy, the postman to give it. He's doing his job. But when the guy is orders, the parents send the package, he's delivering it just for that kid, just for the Jew. So then it's very direct for him. It might be other issues of...
That individual paper is just for this guy. He ordered it. He told Newsday, send me this paper.
No, the recipient didn't ask for the letter. The letter was sent to him. And then, so it was sent... I didn't order the letter. The bill was sent to me.
So
we'll get to newspapers. It's about subscriptions. We'll get to that discussion.
And the guy gave it. He may be going out to deliver to everybody, but this paper, I'm delivering just for you.
So we'll get whether it's Issa Deraisa, Issa Derabanan. We'll get to those, I think, a little bit. But it gets confusing. Okay. But yeah.
We started off this whole discussion talking about muksa. And we're totally off that topic.
Right. So there are issues of muksa and amril akam and tchum issues. A lot of issues that seem to be conflated.
Which is what we're getting to.
Correct.
Which is mail and newspapers. It was a muksa issue.
Right. So Rashi was understanding we didn't muksa. But we didn't go through all the Rishonim that are discussing that. So that's the basic understanding of muksa. But it's hard to navigate. Some think issues of muksa. Some think there are issues of amir lakum. Some think there are issues of tchum. They're all interrelated. I didn't want to break it down. It would take probably four shiurim to discuss muksa independently and amir lakum. But you're right. We are switching back and forth between amir lakum and muksa.
What's the difference in muksa world, whether he sent it because you asked or not?
So I think the Jewish is taking an Amil Akum approach to this, not a Muksa approach. When Amil Akum, when someone turns a light on for me, there's also, just like Muksa, I can't get Hana from it, Amil Akum also, there's an issue to tell them to do something, but let's say I don't even tell them to do something, they do it for me, there's an additional problem of getting Hana from this. So if I'm sitting in a dark room that I cannot read in, and the Goy turns on for me, it's going to be us to sit in that room to get Hana from it. There's an issue of Hana and Amil Akum as well. But I think the Jewish is understanding Rabbeinu Tam to be an issue of Amil Akum, not an issue of Muksa. You're 100% right. Okay, now Tosfos says, and we saw Tosfos last time with the Shari Hediotos, he says the reason why letters are not considered muksa is because letalta vale shari dehal ruin letzur al pi tzluchas. You could use it to cover a jar, to wrap something in it, and therefore, since it has a purpose, it's not considered muksa. That's a Tosfos shita. He doesn't take into account the issues of tchum for some reason, doesn't take into issues of account of amir la'akum. He just says, since there's a purpose for it, it's permitted. Now, one last thing, number 14, the Torah writes that Mikol Makom Ani Tamahayach Hitra Kriya B'Shar Hediotos. He's going back to reading Hashar Hediotos. Umatzasi Kasev Mashar Regilin Ata Shekar, and he quotes from other people, the heter to read from letters is because Shema Yesh Bem Tzar Haguf. Perhaps it's something very, very important, pertinent information for me to know about what's going on in the news, the local news. And A nearly, he says, I don't think this is really true. Matam Maspi Kasov Shetach Tatura, he goes on to reject this issue, but he takes into account the issue of Shari Hadiotos. How could you move letters if you can't read letters? That's another problem. So if issues of things coming outside the Chum, issues of Mila Akum, issues of Shari Hadiotos, these are a number of issues you have to take into account whether or not you can move a letter. If you can't read a letter, if it came from outside the Tchum, and the Goy did this for you, there are a lot of problems to have to deal with. So in conclusion, it seems from the Torah is not so comfortable with reading the letter and also even moving the letters. What's the final Psak Halacha? Shulchan Aruch writes in Simon Shin Zai, number 15, Likros bi geres hashluchalo, to read a letter that was sent to you on Shabbos, im eni yodeh ma kasabo, if you don't know what's written in this, mutter, you can read the letter of lo yikara befiv el yayin ba, but don't read it out loud, just scan it with your eyes. That's according to the Shulchan Aruch. Nowadays might be very, very different. But according to the Shulchan Aruch, there might be very important information for you to know, so you can read it if you don't know what's written in this. If you know for sure that it says, you know, Kan Ed on the outside, so it's not that important for you to know. If it's something that sounds like, you know, important on it, if it's not the bank or something, then maybe it's... You know, nowadays it's different already, so, but...
What could possibly be a practical example?
Bisman has had nothing, really. Bisman has had nothing. But I'm trying to think, in their days, if they had, like, you know, they didn't have electric, but whatever bills they would send you, if it said bill on this, then there's no heter. It's only if there's an issue, that tax bill, that's not, I don't think.
You can't do anything about a child's sending.
So you can't read it. Anything related to bills, you can't read.
But even in their day, what would be, you couldn't do anything on child's
sending. Right, I'm saying, no, but let's say they, though, a country's coming over to start taking over, and they're covering ground, so you have to get out of there, pikuach nefesh, that'd be considered tzarech. But then the Shulchan Aruch says, "Im huva b'shvilo michutz l'tchum." Let's say they brought the letter from outside the tchum. Tov lizaher shlo yigaba. Best not to touch it and really not to move the letters. Based on the discussion we saw on the Torah, Mila Akum issues, Mukhs issues, Tchum issues, Shari Hadiotos issues. One, there's a heter to read it, scan it according to the Shulchan Aruch, but you cannot touch it or move the letter according to the Shulchan Aruch. Now the Magen Avraham writes on this Shulchan Aruch. He says, "Kasva levush lo reisi nohagin game." I didn't see people who kept this. People were not knowing like this. V'chein kasa rab beis Yosef she minag pashit ligaba. People actually would touch and move the letters on Yantif. He quotes from Rabbi Minitz, Simon Kuv Yedvava, Akum ha-mevi ksav chutz le'eruv yesh deos chalukos big machlokas, whether you can or you cannot, if it comes outside the Eruv. Ani nahakti lomar la'acha le'kablo ulekrosu. I told my neighbor, he could accept it, and then he'll read it for me, ulai yesh b'tzorach nefesh. Because he's concerned with a mir la'acham issue. If it's brought for me, I can't get Hana, but my neighbor can. It's not us for him. He'd have his neighbor read the letter for me and make sure there's nothing that important for me to know about. But they, according to the Magen Avraham, the custom was to actually, letters were not muksa. That's how the Magen Avraham paskins. And he says, and he concludes, V'chein nagu alma kimharam ravya dahim basra. They came last. We always follow the later opinions. So according to the Magen Avraham, he's against the Shulchan Aruch that one is allowed to move the letters. Now, the Be'er Gra, number 17, says there are four Isurim that we're dealing with here. And he goes one by one how there are no issues. He says, issues of Shari Hadiotos, number one. He says, many are Matir because that only applies to bills. Mekach HaMemkar. Other than that, it's really Mutter. That's what the Gra says. And according to Tosos, it's Tzarech HaGuf. So he throws out the Shari Hadiotos is not of concern. Then the issue of Mechutz HaTchum, we already saw the issue that if they sent mail to you, you didn't order it, then it's not an issue either of Mir Lakum or Huva Lachutz Tchum, because you didn't ask for it. It was sent to you. There's a Rashi who seems to say otherwise, but he's comfortable saying there's no issue coming from outside the Tchum. And then the third issue is another Tchum issue and a Mukhs issue. He says that's not an issue as well. So it comes out from the Gra. The Gra also concludes, like the Magen Avraham, one is allowed to move, touch, and hold mail. So what does Mishnah Berurah say? Mishnah Berurah writes, number 18, Ha'achronim hiskimu de'ein bazeh mishum muksa klal. The Achronim agree that there's no muksa here at all. Hol v'roi lasos acher lenos mimenu. Like we saw above, since someone else could get hana from this package, from this mail, it's therefore not considered muksa to the recipient as well. Be'er Halacha says the same thing. He discusses this whole thing back and forth. Number 19, the end, he writes, Hayot mitvarenu, the conclusion is, Dal hanegia ein lahachmir klal, aval al hakriya, ha'iyin nochen mo lahachmir. Don't read the letter, but you could touch it and move it. If there's a great tzarech, then you could even read the letter, but notwithstanding that, then you can't read it, but you can move the letters.
But that's not right. Mail today necessarily, because most of it is bills.
Exactly. If you know for sure that it's a mail that says Con Ed and whatnot, then it would be muksa.
So So that, I think so. Today, there's nothing that I haven't received a letter from a friend. And I'm hoping that I don't consider the mortgage of my friend.
Right.
So it's a
seal. Nobody can right. So exactly.
The tearing.
Right. So then, if you need to tear him, you have to ask a guard to open up for you. So
I'd say he's saying also then this is not a, there's no other either could get an offer from it because they can't tear it open.
But in theory, they could have a guard to tear it open for them. So since as long as that theoretical possibility exists.
But then we go back to the chiluk we said before that they're not going to get an offer from my mail. Let's say you have a mutter piece of mail. If it could be such a thing, who's getting it? There is no other you that gets enough of it for me.
Right, unless you're saying that there's other hanal, it's not the reading, but to use this envelope or the letter to cover something up, which is discussing whether nowadays who really does that, who uses letters to wrap their apple juice. No one does that. Is that really considered a feasible kli bismaza, a use bismaza? That's post-Kamoso discussed.
And so then in terms of moving it, if it's Sarach Makoma, let's say, you know, it comes through your thing, it's on the floor, it's like, can you kick it to the side?
That's the issue of tiltum and atzad, so that's another point.
Is this considered the type
of... We're talking about mamash moving with your hands, real
so
moving.
Tiltum and atzad, you would be able to...
I think so.
To open the door, to push it out of the way, to...
Is that what Mishnah Berurah says? It's not muksa. He said you could actually take it exactly.
But he's talking about those not today letters.
So let's look at Ramosha. Moshe writes in terms of today letters.
Letters that we've
seen. Right. So Ramosha writes number 20. We saw this last time, but we're looking from the angle of reading. Let's look at it from the angle of moving. He said the question that was asked to him, number 20, Immutel letaltel miksavim shegiu b'Shabbos b'zmazeh. Can one move the letters that were handed to him or was delivered to him on Shabbos? He writes, no one uses this anymore to cover up the jars and jugs and whatnot. He quotes in the parentheses, that's the time that was mut in the first place. After the parentheses, v'kol shekein, what you were pointing out, Sheldon, if it's in an envelope, even within the tchum, which the Gemara and Beit Yosef is completely mut, according to all opinions within the tchum, even that's going to be also says the Rav Moshe. If you really think there's something of concern, some important information, okay, then there's a heter. You have to chenu aydei nachri. Ube medina zu though, sheika telephone kimat bechol bias, almost every house, not every house, but almost every house, ein lachush ledavar nechutz letzarach guf mamash. There's no concern because they would have otherwise called you on the phone or sent you an email to tell you that there's an issue. Vavash likos letaltil afli garos shemitocha tchum. Even letters that are within the tchum is aser. I was curious to know where our mail comes from, how the timing works. So I called up the Woodmere Post Office on Friday, and the lady's giving me a hard time. Why do you want to know? Like, it's like a federal offense. I said, just for religious reasons. She's like, okay, ask your question. So I said, I'm just curious to know the timing, how things, where they come from, how things work. So the mail you receive on each given day comes to the local post office at 5:30 a.m. So it's already in the tchum on 5:30, but what about Friday night? What about where it gets to? So all she would tell me, it comes from some factory or whatever they call it, some in West, what? Some center in West, Western Nassau. I don't know which city. Probably issues with Tchum. I don't know exactly where it comes from. So it comes from there. At some point, it comes over. So then I asked her, well, does Woodmere have its own truck? Because probably Rova Woodmere is all Jews. So the truck was driven on Shabbos for Woodmere, then it's mostly for Jews. And then the Amir Lakum issues of being delivered for the Jews only. Or does it come by Gibson and Hewlett and all the other ones along the LIR? So she wasn't able to tell me that answer. She didn't know, or she didn't want to tell me. So that's as much information I got from that phone call. But in the end of the day, even if it does come from within the tchum, says Rav Moshe, it's still usher to move mail because there's no need for it. No one would use it. There's no use for it. No one uses it to cover jars, and no one there's no tzarech anymore within it. Now, the Dirshu quotes from Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Chaim Kanievsky. I don't have the actual Sefer entire from which they quote from, but they're quoted as saying that Bizman Azeh, the Heter still exists, even though nowadays there's no real pertinent information of any letters. No one receives, even Shlomo Yonah doesn't get important letters anymore. But even though that doesn't exist, since it once did exist, such letters, there were very important letters, the Heter of moving mail still is Bizman Azeh permitted. Now, I'm not saying we pass like that per se. Rav Moshe here in America says it was usher, so perhaps the best thing to do is kick it out of the way to if it's really bothering you being there on the floor.
What if you're afraid your child's going to take your important mortgage bill?
You should let them take it.
It's like, why isn't it like in concept of
a hefsid mamon.
Yeah.
That's it.
Just putting it aside so you're not going to have...
I don't imagine, depending what grandkids you have living in your house, but I don't think the kids are that destructive that they'll take the mortgage and throw in the garbage.
I'm saying other people, not me.
Right.
Here's a practical...
Yeah, I don't know.
We get giant mailbags in camp and it can be left outside the overhang so all the mail could get destroyed if it rains on Shabbos.
Uh-huh.
So that's a practical thing. You got a giant bag.
Yeah, so probably there, I'd imagine you could probably rely on the many posts who say it's permitted to move.
Because
they want
to get destroyed.
Right, I imagine so.
Would it be better for them to tell the guy that's the janitor to... Is that Amir La'aka?
Could probably bet Amir La'aka. Shusta Malcolm Hefsa Maruba. Probably. Okay, so one last issue. We mentioned here the Taz. I think they're well-known people are familiar with this concept. The Taz writes to number 22. Haminag sha'akum ha'mevi haksav minicha karka tchila. You tell them to place it on the ground. And, don't hand it to me, please place it on the ground. Now, sometimes I feel bad when I've said that to them. They feel like you don't want to, take something from my hand. So it's better to have, a mailbox and just say, I'd leave the mailbox, I'll get it later, than to take it directly from their hand. Why? Maram Mintz, B'tshuva Simon Kuf Yudzayin, Nosan Tam, D'lo Yasi Yisrael HaMekabal, Ksav, Gemar Hotzah, Mershus, L'Rishus. What happens is, he hands it from you from the outside, and hands it to you from the inside, you've completed an act of Akira V'Hanacha. D'hainu Ha'akam Ose Akira, he does a lifting up, and Yisro Hanacha, he accepts it, you've then done a Yisro Hotza along with the guy. Taz says, Ein Zen nearly. It doesn't make sense to me. The Bereshis HaRabim Deraisa, the Gemara in Shabbos says, the Asim Derbonim. The Yisro Deraisa is for me individually to pick something up in Bereshis HaRabim, walk Dal Amos, and then stop. That's an Yisro Deraisa. Now, if two people were to do this, I did the Akira, and someone else did the Hanacha, that's Shaim Sha'asu, and that's only an Yisro Derbonim. But that's an Yisro Derbonim on Bereshis HaRabim, which is Deraisa. But by Carmelis, where if I were to walk on my own, it's only an Issur Midrabanan. So for two of us to do this, we would be completely mutter. So it doesn't make any sense to tell the mail guy to give me the letter, to place it down on the ground. I could take it directly from him because we're all dealing with an issue of Carmelis only. Carmelis is Issur Midrabanan. Shnayim Shasu on Issur Midrabanan would seemingly only be, it would be mutter completely, Lefi the Taz. The Magen Avraham, the Prima Gaon explained all this, but despite that fact, the Mishnah Berurah writes number 24, Kasuv Achronim Nagu Shelo Lekabel Igeres Miad HaEino Yehudi. One should not accept it against the Taz. The Taz said you completely can accept the letters. Says the Mishnah Berurah not to. HaMevi B'Shabbos Ela Omrim Lo She'anich HaGavei Karka. Please place it on the floor or Gavei Shulchan on the table. Shema Ter Mishamud Lafosh Yitol Fine. He says because of the concern of the Taz of two people violating the Isser Votzah, one should ask him to place it on the ground. But didn't the Taz just say there's an Isser Karmelis? What's the problem? An Isser Karmelis is only Isser Midrabanan. So what's the problem of accepting it from the hands of the guy? Says the Shaar Tzion, this is the Mishnah Berurah Shitaso and other places of Hilchos Erevin. Ein Kushya, after Taz Mefakbik was there, the Taz was against this. He says, there's no need to do this. You can accept the letters in your hand. Ein Kushya, this is not a problem, says the Mishnah Berurah in the Shaar Tzion. The Har Bevi Shonim Sovrim the Ganim Bismanazeh. Yesh Rishus Rabim, the Tov Lasses Yidekol. Because Bismanazeh, many Shom hold that there's Rishus Rabim, either because we live in cities that do satisfy the 600,000, or because some Shom hold you don't require the 600,000, you just require the 16 Amos to create a Rishus Rabim. And therefore, concludes the Mishnah Berurah, one should not accept the mail from the postal service, rather have them place it on the ground or in the mailbox. Now, we didn't. What? Within Erev, so then seemingly this would not be an issue. Then it would be completely mutter. Very good. Within that, then it would be mutter to accept it from the postal. So, we're already 11 o'clock here. I want to discuss newspapers. Maybe next time we'll go through this issue of newspapers to discuss further. Okay, fine. I think they're sharing next week, yeah.
Could you accept the mailing of Muxa? Like, let's say there's building from there.
I'm saying the issue of Muxa, right. So that's a good point. So once we establish as muksa, then even though there's no hotzar problem, good point. Okay.
I just want to continue with what not with the subject of the Shabbos switch. We were talking not about the switch as the device itself, but more the issue of uvdin d'chol. So I decided that it would be a good way to complement what Rabbi Levin is doing in terms of these malacha issues with a more of a discussion about Kavod Shabbos, things that are nogeh to the halachas of Kavod Shabbos. So I decided we'd begin talking a little bit over the next few weeks about Big Day Shabbos, about clothing, Shabbos clothing, Big Day Shabbos. Now here there's a tremendous area in Machshava and Chassidus and so on in Kabbalah, but that's not what we're going to be Isaac in, just in terms of the halacha. L'das kol ha-poskim. L'das kol ha-poskim. There's a chiyuv gomer to wear clean clothing on Shabbos. Really, that's what we're all familiar with, the din of ksus nekia, of having clean garments for Shabbos and for Yontiv. That's not just a mila, it's not just a nice thing. Again, what the gedra is of clean, we'll talk about in a minute, but it's not just a mila or some sort of a hider. It's mikra din to have clean clothing on Shabbos. The question is, what's the makor of that chiyuv? So it's interesting. We have a makor that comes, there's one view that holds it from Torah, there's other holds it from Nevi'im, the other holds it from Ksuvim. So it's across from Tanakh, the view that holds that it's mina Torah, the lashon that's found in the poskim that hold like this is that ikaro mina Torah, that the yisod of Big Day Shabbos is already in the Torah, which is understood in the pasuk in Parashas Emor, the pasuk of Mikra'i Kodesh, which Chazal learn from there Ksus Nekiyah. Mikra'i Kodesh, and that Mikra'i Kodesh, Chazal understood that the meaning of Mikra'i Kodesh is, at least as it's found in the Sifri that the Ramban brings down, the Ramban explains, that Mikra'i Kodesh means Ksus Nekiyah. This view is also brought in Reish Membeis and some Reish Membeis by the Rav Shulchan Aruch as the first view, which seems that the Rav Shulchan Aruch holds that the Iker of Big Day Shabbos is Midaraisa. It's an interesting thing when you look through the Chassidus Poskim, Kemat, all of them hold that Big Day Shabbos, they go by this view that Big Day Shabbos is the Iker of the Adar is Midaraisa, it's from the Torah. That's one view. The second view is that it is Midivrei Kabbalah. Divrei Kabbalah from the Nevi'im, the pasuk is in Yeshayah that we're familiar with. L'kadosh Hashem Mechubad. L'kadosh Hashem Mechubad. And here too, we have a drasha on that pasuk. L'kadosh Hashem Mechubad. That pasuk is talking about Shabbos. M'mtzo chafetzecha b'dabir dover. Oz tisanik l'Hashem v'chavticha b'amosei haritz. It's talking about Shabbos. L'chavod Hashem, l'kadosh Hashem Mechubad, is that there's a din of Ksus Nekir. The Rambam brings this as the makar, this pasuk from Navi, not that it's the Ikus Minator, but from Navi. The Rambam brings this as the makar, and this is also brought down in the Beis Yosef, who seems to agree with this, and in the Rav Shulchan Aruch, it's brought down as the second daya in the Rav Shulchan Aruch. According to the Rav, the Ikus seems to be Minator, from the Torah, from Mikra'i Kodesh. The third view regarding the makar, the source of this din, of having, again, ksus nekiyah. We're not talking yet about having special Shabbos tikkun clothing, just that it should be clean. The third makar is that it's part of the takanas Ezra, that the Gemara Bava Kama talks about, that one of the takanas that Ezra HaSofer made was that laundering should take place on Thursday. To do the laundry on Thursday. Now, there's a machlokas between the Magen Avraham and the Elio Rabba of what is the definition, what is the meaning of this takana of Ezra. So the Magen Avraham understands that the Ikka takana is not al etzem hakvisa. There's no din that you davka have to do the laundry on Thursday, Lukavit Shabbos. The Magen Avraham holds that the problem was Ezra HaSofer was concerned that if people are going to begin to do laundry on Erev Shabbos, now remember in those days, it was a very short time ago, the laundry was a very big Isaac, and that if people are going to get busy with the laundry on Erev Shabbos, it's going to stare the Hachanis for Shabbos. According to the Magen Avraham, therefore, there's no takana to do laundry on Thursday. The takan is that if you have laundry, you better make sure to do it on Thursday because you're not going to be allowed to do it on Friday, because if you do it on Friday, it's going to shter Shabbos. So you have to do the laundry on Thursday. But the Eliyahu Rabbah does not agree. The Eliyahu Rabbah holds that there's the ikkar takana is to do the laundry on Thursday, l'kavod Shabbos. There's bekum va'aseh, whatever laundry needs to get done, should be done on Thursday. And the Mishnah Berurah supports this view of the Eliyahu Rabbah. Al kapanim, all of this we're talking about is as far as Ksus Nekiyah is concerned. Now, how do we define what is the meaning of a garment that is considered to be dirty or a garment that's considered to be clean? The Mishnah Brura and the other poskim, I saw this also in the Chodshani from Rabbi Nissim Karelitz and others. Their view is generally that if a person wears something, it goes by the locality, it goes by where the place of people live. Obviously, people much in general, at least in Western culture, are more particular about things being very clean and not wearing it for a few days. But generally, if a person wears something ready for a few days, that could very well have a din of being meluchlach, of being dirty. And the Mishnah Berurah even says that if you're wearing the special Shabbos Dikah suit that you have, the Shabbos Dikah coat that you have, also that after a few weeks, one should change that or to launder it to see that it's laundered. It shouldn't be wear it for a long period of time. It could already have a din of meluchlach. Rav Nissim Karelitz writes over there that all of this is only talking about shirt and pants and so on, but not about the beged elyon. As far as the jacket is concerned, the jacket. So that Rav Nissim says that jacket is worn for many weeks, pants and shirts and so on. Those there's a much bigger problem with something being not clean, and the derech ha'olam is not to launder the jacket or every couple of times that you wear it, but to leave it for a longer period of time, because there's no exact gedder of how many times. But the beged elyon is something that a person will wear for a longer period of time. Obviously, if there's some sort of a stain or there's something that renders it eino naki, so the Reb Nissim says, if it's obviously eino naki, then that would fall into this gedder of being in violation of the responsibility to wear a ksus nakiya, to wear a clean garment when it comes to Shabbos. Now, all of that is ksus nakiya. Again, Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim. Ksus, Nikia, a clean garment. Those poskim are not talking bichlal about a special Shabbos Dikah garment. Now, as far as that responsibility is concerned, meaning me'ever, beyond this requirement of Ksus, Nikia, the poskim can bring down that it's Tov sheyishtadel. It is good that one should make an effort that he should have Lukovit Shabbos, he should have begodim noim umuchubadim. Noim umuchubadim. That they should be nice and bekovit hikah garments that are special for Shabbos, that he wouldn't usually wear during the week. Maybe it was a special occasion, like a wedding or something, but otherwise he wouldn't wear it. That should be begodim noim umuchubadim. The Aruch HaShulchan is medaktik to say that doesn't mean, it doesn't say that they have to be yikarim, the most expensive, but they should be noim, they should be pleasant, they should be nicer than regular clothing, umuchubadim, and therefore we find that the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch and Reish Mem Beis Siv Beis is, he uses the lashon there of yishtadel. Yishtadel, that one should make the effort, which implies that it's not a chiyuv me'ikur hadin, that you have to have special Shabbos day clothing. Clean, that's Mirka Adin. But special garments, there the Lashon is Yishtadel. And the Rav in his Shulchan Aruch, also it's a little bit stronger. There he writes, Chayiv Kol Adim L'Yishtadel. Not just Tov L'Yishtadel or Mitzvah L'Yishtadel, but obviously there's going to be a stronger Dagesh by the Mekubalim and the Chassidim when it comes to Big Day Shabbos, which we'll talk about afterwards. So the Tanya uses the Lashon Chayiv Kol Adam L'Hishtadl. But even according to the Tanya, it certainly is not like Shabbos candles, a din of covered Shabbos like Shabbos candles, or a din of Ksus Nakia with a Chayiv Gomor, Mikra Adin, but rather there's a chiyuv that one should make the ishtadlus. But what's interesting is that, again, it's not clear 100%, but if you look in Perek Lamed, in Hilchos Shabbos of the Rambam, with there the Rambam is also at the beginning from Halacha Aleph Tal Hey, in Perek Lamed he talks about the halachas of Kvod Shabbos, of Kvod Shabbos. It is mashma from the Rambam, I didn't focus that, but it's mashma from the Rambam that it's a mitzvah gemur midivrei sofrim. The Rambam talks about the din of Big Day Shabbos, not only Ksus Nakia, but Big Day Shabbos, he speaks about it in the same mezgeret, in the same framework as the Ksus Nakia, which is Midivei Kabbalah according to the Rambam, from the pasuk of Vikibadato. So it sounds like from the Rambam in Perek Lamed of Hilchos Shabbos that Big Day Shabbos is a mitzvah of Gemurah. Is it din? I'm not clear. It's not 100% clear, but it sounds like he includes it in the same halach as Ksus Nakia. Now, the makar, what's the makar of this to have Big Day Shabbos? Not just Ksus Nakia, but beyond, to make the effort to have special Big Day Shabbos. So, the poskim bring the same posik in Yeshaya, v'kibadato, and they learn out from that, the Gemara, based upon the Gemara Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, that v'kibadato, and that's really where the Gemara, that's really where this all comes from, that v'kibadato is not the same when it comes to Ksus Nikia, that's Me'ikra Hadin, but there's a special additional ishtadlus that one should make to be Mechabed Shabbos with finer garments, with nicer garments. So the poskim all bring this Gemara in Kuf Yud Gimel and Shabbos from the pasuk in Navi of Kibadato. Another source that's found in Chazal is from a pasuk in Rus, where there Naomi tells Rus when she's telling her to get dressed up for the meeting with Boaz. So it says in pasuk v'samt simlo sayach. V'samt simlo sayach, Chazal darshan in the Medrash in Rus, that v'samt simlo sayach is, no, don't just put on nice clean clothing, put on your Shabbos clothing. V'samt simlo sayach. So this is also brought down as a makar from Chazal, that there's a concept of having begodim mehudarim, having nicer Shabbos clothing, not just clean. V'samt simlo sayach means something special. The Yushalmi, there's something that's mamish fascinating. The Yushalmi says a tremendous chiddush that, which I guess indicates that in Eretz Yisrael they were particularly careful with having beautiful garments for Shabbos, because the Yushalmi says that as far as establishing the chazaka of a Shor HaMuad, so the Yushalmi says an ox that is already an ox that is muad to gore. So you can't count if there's a Shabbos in between, you can't count it as three in a row. Why? Because the Yerushalmi holds that the animal on Shabbos, the people are wearing begodim, are wearing garments that are so completely different that you can't make this shor into a shamu that has a chazak as a muad, because he got all confused by how everybody was dressed on Shabbos. It's a fascinating Yerushalmi. That the animal became confused on Shabbos, and therefore we can't say that it consistently gores. No, we don't know for sure, because what happened on Shabbos was that everybody was like in their Shabbos best, and the like one shor said to the other, I think, I don't know what this is, we're going after this guy. Something happened. Yerushalmi says that something is different on Shabbos, but Ad Kedei Kach, it seems to be that it's like an andere mensch, like the shor, the ox, doesn't recognize the person on Shabbos. So from Chol to Shabbos, from Shabbos to Chol, you can't establish a chazak of a shor hamuad. It's a chiddush in Yerushalmi, which Tzadik brings down one of his svarim. He brings a number of sources to show that it was an inyan in Eretz Yisrael to dafka wear very beautiful begodim on Shabbos, more so than in Galus, but to wear beautiful garments on Shabbos. This is based upon the Zohar Kaddish, where there's a very, very big inyan as far as Big Day Shabbos is concerned, because the Zohar holds that the inyan of wearing special garments on Shabbos is because the neshama is mislabeshes on Shabbos. There's a special, whatever that means, we're not going to that now, but there are different levushim that the neshama is enclosed in on Shabbos, even though we might look the same, but the neshama is enclosed in different levushim on Shabbos, and the levushim of Or, you know that the inyan of the tikkun of the chait of Adam and Chava, where there it says kosnos Or with an ayin, and the Sefer Torah Reb Meir it says kosnos Or with an aleph, and the mukubalim hold based upon the Zohar that every Shabbos we zocha somehow to have again kosnos Or, to have these garments of light, kosnos or because the neshama is mislabesh in big day Shabbos, in big day Shabbos. Therefore, as I said before, we see that the mukabalim and the chassidim were very, very makbid based upon the Zohar. There's a beautiful Yalkut Shemayni. The Yalkut Shemayni in Parashas Bolak, on the pasuk where Bilam is praising us, he says, "Mi mana afar Yaakov? Me, who can count afar Yaakov?" And the different perushim Rashi brings, and the different explanations of what it means, who can count the offer of Yaakov Avinu? Mi mana afar Yaakov? So the Yalkut says an interesting thing, that it says that Bilam was saying, who could count the schar of the Bachurei Yisrael, of the Bachrim, that even though they're wearing beautiful and expensive Big Day Shabbos, they push to get into the drosha of the Zaken, to get into the Shabbos drosha that the Zaken was giving, and they would get their begodim, their Big Day Shabbos, dirty. So on that, Bilam said, Mi mona afar Yaakov. The greatness of Afar Yaakov is that even though Jews are so makpid on their Big Day Shabbos because they're expensive and they're beautiful, nevertheless, when it comes to hearing the drosha from the Zaken, they get dirty. They'll go in. I remember when I was a bocher and I went for the first time that I had in Eretz Yisrael, there was a friend of mine that was a Ger Chassid, and I was a modern American bocher, and he said, "Come, I'm going to take you to the Tish," and even when I was just in the hallway of Ger, people started to push, were like pushing each other, even when there was still room, they were just pushing each other. There was a guy that like gave me a whack, and I there was not even a problem. I don't know why he was hitting me, and the fellow warned me. He said, "It's gonna get very physical over here," and then once you got in, that's when the Beis Yisrael was alive, the Beis Yisrael was Rabbi. When you got in, it was crazy. So I was, you know, I'm a Funic American guy, and like people are like throwing you around and pulling things And I asked, like, how do you, so he says, no, we all have special bekushes for the tish. They all wear special things when they go in, because everything is ripped and torn. So, mi mona afar Yaakov, who could measure the greatness of Yaakov, of the Jewish people, that even though they have beautiful Big Day Shabbos, they go to the tish, they go to the zokain, to hear a drosha, and it gets dirty, afar, the dirt gets onto the beged. Just to end this segment of it, I saw in the Kitzur HaShlor, in the Kafar Chaim, that these Big Day Shabbos that we wear, again, not regular, we're not talking about the shirt and so on, but the Big Day Shabbos that are used special for Shabbos, the Big Day Shabbos, first of all, when you're putting on the Big Day Shabbos, it's brought down in the Kitzur HaShlor and the Kafar Chaim that you should say, when you're putting on the begodim, L'chvoid Shabbos Kodesh. When you're getting dressed for Shabbos, you should say that you're putting on the Chavod Shabbos Kodesh. It's brought down in the Chabad Svarim that the Rebbe Maharash had a nigun, a special nigun, for each of the begodim. I years ago tried to find out, and there was a Zokin in Chabad that they have a very strong Mesorah with the nigunim, and I didn't hear it, but they told me that this fella has the nigunim that the Maharash had for every garment, because the Mekubalim were careful, we'll talk about that next time, to change everything from head to toe. Everything was L'Kovid Shabbos, and special for Shabbos, that they only wore on Shabbos, those begodim, everything. And the Rebbe Marash had a special niggin for the socks, a special niggin for everything. There was a special niggin, that he had a different niggin for each of the Big Day Shabbos. Ad kedei kach, that it's brought down from Chavetz Chaim, and in the Kitzur Shlo, in these places, that one should not go into the Beis HaKiseh. Like you're wearing a Shabbos bekesh, or you're wearing a Shabbos suit, not of course the pants, whatever. But you're wearing the beged elyon. You should not go into the Beis HaKiseh. A person with a Shabbos clothing should not go into the Beis HaKiseh. And it's brought down that the Chavetz Chaim was makbid that he wouldn't take out the garbage. He wouldn't without going into the question halacha of the garbage on Shabbos. We'll get to that. But he wouldn't move the garbage. He would first take off his Big Day Shabbos. That he should not move the garbage while wearing Big Day Shabbos, similar to what we see in the Beis Hamikdash with the Truma Sedesh and the way and the special clothing with the Kahanim, how they would change from one job to the next because of the covet of the Big Day Kahuna. So when it comes to the covet of Big Day Shabbos, they were careful not to use it for something which is chol, not to take out the garbage, not to go into the Beis HaKiseh. Now, Mr. Shem, next time we'll talk more about we'll talk more about the whole other halacha we find in the Rishonim, that Big Day Shabbos, that there's a halacha that there should be a heker in Big Day Shabbos. And that means that it should be very, very obvious that these garments are for Shabbos, not just a nicer suit, but there should be a heker that this is a Shabbos de Kilavush. And we'll talk about that in the Rishonim and Mitzvah next time.
How about your example of the